Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I don't know how many of you saw the Instagram post earlier this week, but this is my little black bag. And this little black bag stays in my truck, and it's usually full of commentaries of whatever sermon series that we are going through at the moment. But I used it this morning to transport these howdy cards just so that you could look at them. These are cards that were filled out in 2024. And this is just a handful of the cards and people who visited our church family last year. And on every single one of these cards, if you were to come up here and look, usually we'll group them and I'll put a post-it note on there according to the Sunday. But there's a green check mark on each and every single card. That green check mark comes from my beloved green felt pen. And when I spend time on Mondays and Tuesdays responding an email to those of you who have been our guests, at the same time, others of our staff are responding to things that were checked on the back of the cards. So when someone checks they're interested in a small group or they're interested in joining or they want to become a Christian for the first time, you'll hear from one of us every single week on Monday or Tuesday. And that green check mark to me doesn't just indicate done, it indicates touched. It means that we are attempting as much as we can to reach out to those of you who are letting us know that, hey, I was there that Sunday. And this is how I want to respond. And so on the back of our howdy cards that are in the seat back in front of you, there's opportunities just to let us know how you sense God is working in your life. But our commitment to each and every person that turns in one of these cards and lets us know, our commitment is to you as an individual. We want to begin a friendship with you. We want to begin a relationship with you. And we want to be the church of Jesus Christ with you. And so this morning, even after the service, Sean will be leading our very first member class of this year. And if this is something that God seems to be moving in your life and guiding and directing and encouraging you to unite with this church family membership, we really encourage you to check things out. It doesn't obligate you. We're not going to pigeonhole you or anything like that, but it's a necessary first step towards membership. But God has been blessing. So on this first Sunday of 2025, I want to invite you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6. And I was interested just earlier because during the interview time between Sean and Braden, Braden actually referenced one of these verses. And believe it or not, we did not coordinate. But we're going to be preaching and looking at Romans, chapter 6. And we're going to start off in verse 3 in just a moment. But with it being a new year, and we've already gotten to celebrate a baptism on the very first Sunday of this new year, today as we examine Scripture, it's never the role of the preacher to do like the heavy lifting of Scripture. It's never my role or any preacher's role to make things more interesting to you. It's never my role like to decorate what I'm saying in such a way that what I say outweighs the authority of God's word. And so in a sense, all I need to do as a preacher or as a speaker is just be faithful to the text, to simply communicate what God's word says in a spirit of humility, trusting that the Holy Spirit is at work in all of us here. Because we invite God's presence to be here in our midst today. And so you're not here to hear Jeff preaching, obviously. You're not here to hear when Matt preaches or Sean preaches or Philip will be preaching this year, by the way, or Braden preaching or anyone else on staff. We're here to hear what God has to say to us through his word, aren't we? We're here because of that conviction that God wants to transform us. He wants to equip us. He wants to encourage us through His Word. So I think at the beginning of this year, it's really appropriate for us just to have a reminder and a reset to encourage us as God's people who we are and what role His Word is in our life. You see, we all have a shared spiritual reality. And this cross is on the stage each and every week to remind us of our shared spiritual reality. That for those of us who have trusted in Christ Jesus, we are all equal before God. We're all one in the Spirit. He is our one faithful Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so this morning, I want to ask you a few questions before we dive in. The questions I want to ask is for you to think about your spiritual reality this morning. Where do you find yourself this morning spiritually? Are you affectionate for Christ, or are you feeling a little bit apathetic for Christ? Coming out of the Christmas holidays, are you feeling just a little bit frantic or frazzled, or knowing that perhaps school will be starting in a few weeks? Are you feeling a little bit just intimidated? But in all of that, where is Christ in your life this morning? Is He your first love? Is He your first loyalty? And perhaps it would help you even to ask yourself, what has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for you? And then ask, what is Jesus doing in you these days? What do you sense Him speaking to you about? How's He nudging you? How's He encouraging you? How is He reminding you that He loves you? And then finally, what does God desire to do through you this year? So what has God done for you? What is He doing in you? And what does He want to do through you this year? So let's look at Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, and let's look through verse 14 together. It says, "Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all time. But the life He lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace." So it's a passage that is packaged full with meaning. And if you've read Paul at any length of time, you know Paul is notorious for long sentences and long thoughts. And so as we read this, there's just so much theological meat, even in this passage. Like all of Romans is like Paul's theological opus. It's amazing. It's magnificent. It's deep. And sometimes we need to chew through it to understand. But on this first Sunday of the year, I want to give us some beautiful reminders We want to remind ourselves about what we're reading and about how it applies to our lives that I think will be able to carry you through this year if you'll continue to apply these principles that we'll look at this morning to your life. So we're just going to pull these thoughts straight out of what we've just read, okay? So the reason your mind is so important that throughout this passage, Paul is appealing to the Roman Christians' thinking process. He's urging them to think a certain way. He's urging them to reflect, to wonder, to be aware, to be cognizant, to think deeply about these spiritual truths that are just as real as peanut butter. He wants them to be confident that these things are true and are good. And so the first thought is just this. He says, are you unaware? He tells the Roman Christians that he wants them to be aware. He wants them to be wakened to these spiritual realities that he's talking about. And he goes on, he says, therefore. And so he's using the information he's been talking about, saying, if this is true, therefore, and then he throws out, we have been united, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Because Christ did it for us, we too can experience new life. Paul wants the Roman Christians to get that, to think about that, to be aware of that, to be cognizant, to be knowledgeable, to be confident of this information, this reality. And he continues and he says, for if, in that if conjunction, so if I were to say, if the Hokies had won their bowl game, some of us may feel a little bit better about Virginia Tech football right now. That if makes us think about things. That if always posits a possibility. And when Paul brings up this if here, he's wanting the Romans, and he wants us, to think about not just the reality of what he's talking about, but what if that reality was not true? But he says, if we have been united with Jesus in the likeness of his death. So think about that. If you have been united with Jesus in the likeness of his death. How was Jesus killed? By crucifixion, right? If we have been united with Jesus in a proverbial crucifixion, he says, we will certainly, and it's like certain, it's like you can bank on it, you can be confident in it. We will certainly walk in the news. We will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So just as Christ has been raised from the dead, you can be completely confident, sure, totally, supremely at peace that you too will be raised from the dead. That you will meet Jesus face to face. That you will see all of those who have gone before you, who are your loved ones, who died in faith. You will see them again. You will walk in newness of life. You'll be resurrected just as certainly as Jesus was. And then Paul says, again, this mind information, he says, for we know, knowledgeable, cognizant, aware of it, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. Why? So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. We know these things. We know that because of Christ's death, we also died. We know that because of Christ's life, it means that we can also live. And now we also know, and we're confident, that we are no longer, because of Jesus, we no longer have to be enslaved to sin. We do not have to allow sin to reign in us. And he says, a person who has died is freed from sin. And he continues, and we believe. Again, there's that head stuff, that knowledge, that confidence, we believe, we have faith in, we're sure of what? That we will also live with Jesus, that we will live with him, and that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. What that means is that if you sin this afternoon, it doesn't mean that Jesus is in heaven going, well, crud, I've got to go back and do the whole thing all over again to die for that afternoon sin. You see, Jesus, the Father, God, he doesn't live in temporal time. Scripture tells us that when he died on the cross, he died for sin once for all time. And I'm a Star Trek nerd, and even I can't figure out how all this works. But he's above time. And so the sin that you commit this afternoon has already been atoned for on the cross. The sin that you'll commit next week, next year, 5 years from now. He died for all sins, all times, once. And it's a beautiful reality because it means death no longer lives over Jesus. And then for the death he died to sin once for all time. And so therefore, you too, and notice this thinking word again, consider, rest assured, think about, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So as we look at these verses, Romans 6 is like spiritually pragmatic. It's deep, but at the same time, when we really take a few moments to walk ourselves through it, Paul is trying to communicate to us that if we'll think a certain way, it will flow out into our confidence, into our peace, and even to the way that we relate with one another. It's very spiritually pragmatic, but it's all between the ears. All of this is between the ears. You've probably heard the expression, and I know I've said it before, but the most dangerous 6 inches in a Christian's life is right here between these two ears. Because it's where our minds are the battlefield. It's what we think about. It's what we're led to think about. We'll get depressed. We get anxious. We get worried. We get angry. Whatever. All of that happens in our minds. And so it's no wonder that in Romans 6 and all these passages that we look at in Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament, it's all encouraging us to allow the truth of God's Word to transform the way that we think about life, to have the same perspective about life and spirituality that God does, to trust that His way of perceiving things is the right way. So it's all in how you think, and it matters what you believe. It really does matter what you believe, because what we have to do is we must have faith that the Scriptures are completely inspired by God, that they are fully trustworthy, that they're authoritative, not just for Christians, but they're authoritative for every human being that has ever lived on the face of the planet. God's Word is true for all peoples, whether they acknowledge that or not. We have faith in that reality. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see this beautiful verse. He says, "For faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." So when you hear the Word of God being spoken or read or preached, it is spiritually powerful to increase your faith and trust in God. That what God's Word said is true, and it applies to you just as much as it applies to any other person on the planet. Now, in years past, in our summer Big Small Group series, we did a multi-summer series, I think it's about 3 years in a row, that we called Think to Change. Believe, Behave, Become. And you can see that graphic there from days gone by. That's what we would use. And so what we would do is 1 week, we would teach about here's what you should believe. Then the next week, we'd teach about if you believe this, then here's how you should behave. And then the next week, we would teach about if you believe this and you're behaving this way, here's who you will become. Because what you earnestly believe will determine how you live. It'll determine how you behave. And as you live along a trajectory of your beliefs, day in and day out, that belief-informed lifestyle results in who you become. It forms your character. So just one example from Scripture, and again in Romans. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Let's look at how this believe, behave, become cycle works. It says here, we know that affliction produces endurance. And endurance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. Now here's how these truths look in spiritual reality as we think to change. You notice here it says, we know that affliction produces endurance. We know. So belief. That's how you start with belief. What you believe then, because affliction will produce endurance, how you behave in times of trial and hardship and suffering will reflect what you believe. Now think with me. If you encounter trial, hardship, and suffering, and you freak out and you lose it, what is that really saying about what you believe? It's saying that regardless of whether you said in a small group or to a Christian friend, you said the right words because you knew you were supposed to say the right words. Well, I know God's in control. But if you freak out and crumble in times of hardship, what you're really showing everyone is that you don't believe that. That you don't believe God has things in control. That He's not trustworthy. That He doesn't love you. And it's suddenly now up to you to figure out how to get out of the mess you're in. That's why affliction produces endurance when you believe the right thing. And how you behave will show what you're believing. And then endurance. Think about what endurance really is. Endurance is a lifestyle of standing up under affliction. And the Scripture says endurance produces character. So if you behave confidently and trusting God in the middle of affliction, you experience endurance. And because you're enduring, because you're depending upon God, suddenly it produces character. It means that who you're becoming is a person of character. And then a person of character, because of what they believe, lives from and toward hope. So this cycle is extremely pragmatic, but it starts with the Word of God. Like when you read Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 14, like we've read, and we've looked at all of the head words, the thinking words, the consider words in this, when we take them to heart, we believe them with a rock solid bedrock confidence, and we begin orienting our life to what we've read in faith to God, then we begin behaving a certain way. And it's really beautiful. So let me put this long quote up on the screen for you and just read it for you. So as you read Scripture afresh and with new commitment this year, look deeply at what God is encouraging you to think. What is He encouraging you to believe? And as a result, then you can ask, if I think / believe in faith, how then should I behave? Now, the beauty of this is that as you practice daily, simple, small obedience, adjusting your beliefs and your behaviors to align with God's will and God's word, then you will become someone who is experiencing God. You will walk in joy and life, forgiveness, and contentment. So we read the passage, but now let's look at these new heart instructions that we see in Romans chapter 6. The new heart instructions are, okay, now that you're thinking this way, now that you're being renewed in the way that you're thinking and you're thinking the right things, what then should you tell your heart, which is sometimes the center of emotions? Therefore, do not let sin reign. Do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, and offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. So the instructions for your new heart is, because you believe a certain way, here are the ways that you should think and act and to begin to behave. You start simply saying no to sinful temptations and praying for power over those temptations and asking God to identify for you those moments of escape from times of temptation. And then we're given these new heart reminders from Romans chapter 6. These reminders, he's reminding us, he's saying, hey, sin will not rule over you. Do not get discouraged about your battle with sin in your life, because sin ultimately has no power over you because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Don't ever think to yourself, well, I just can't. I'm struggling with this. Whether it's an addictive, sinful pattern or a mental thought pattern that you struggle with, don't ever tell yourself, I just can't. Because what is that telling us that you believe? You're not saying, I just can't. You're saying, God just can't. And God has already declared in his word that sin will not reign over you. And so it's not that you can, it's that he can. And because he can, you can. That's why it's important. What you believe matters. What we think about matters. And so if we'll allow the scriptures to be the foundation of our belief systems and our attitudes and our behaviors, then we live a new life and a joyful life in front of one another, in front of the world. And then secondly, you are not under the law, but under grace. So why do we need these reminders? This famous theologian preacher once said, and you can see the quote on the screen behind me, because we default to stupid. That's one of my life mantras. When we go to bed, or maybe I'll just say when I go to bed, I am pretty certain when I wake up in the morning, I am stupid all over again. I have completely forgotten how faithful God was yesterday, last month, 5 years ago. And sometimes I'll wake up going, eesh. And that's why every single morning, as much as I can as is possible, I spend time in God's Word. Because again, in Romans chapter 12, it says that if we'll allow the Word of God to renew our minds, it literally has the power to change the way we think about things and to see things God's way and to be encouraged and nurtured and nourished and refreshed and renewed. And even though our circumstances may not have changed, our ability to stand up underneath our circumstances with the power of God will enable us to face whatever is in store for us that day. But we do. We default to stupid. And when you wake up, the only way I know how to describe it is that when you spend time in the Bible, reading God's Word, you're rebooting your OS. You're turning things off and you're turning things back on. You're reconnecting to the source of life and hope and power and strength that comes through God's Word. So a lot of you know someone, whether it's a friend or a family member, who've had an organ transplant. Some of you here may have even had an organ transplant. Probably one of the most profound organ transplants, though, is a heart transplant, right? I mean, when you have a heart transplant, that is significant surgery and operation. And you think about it. When someone has a heart transplant and they have another person's heart put inside their body, have you ever noticed that their character doesn't change? Have you ever noticed that another human heart, as healthy as it may be, when it's put inside that person, it doesn't result in a more gracious, kind, God-exalting person? It's interesting because it's expensive. A new heart is really financially expensive. But even more than that, a new heart is terribly expensive. Because for a heart transplant to happen, we know that someone died. It's a really expensive procedure. And it essentially just extends life, but it doesn't change the character of the person with the new heart. But as we read Scripture, and as we look at 2025 and going forward, one of the things that we see is that God gives us a new heart. And God gives us the kind of heart that has new desires. You see, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, God reforms, renews, gives us a new heart that longs to please Him, wants to obey Him, hearts that lean towards God. Not just our heart, but literally all of us is born again. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. And Psalm 51:10 says, God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And that's why when we look at Psalm 37:4, some people have misinterpreted this to say, well, if I'll just obey God, He'll give me all the things I really want. But when Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires, what is that really meaning? It means He gave you a new heart. And with that new heart came new desires that had been put in there by God. So when you're thinking the right things and you're considering the truths of Scripture and you're allowing spiritual reality to be changed for you and you believe this and you behave this and you start becoming this kind of person in Christ, literally, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He's giving you the desires of your new heart, the desires that align themselves with God's heart. So here are some thoughts for us. Worship team, you can begin making your way forward. But thoughts for us in 2025 as we move forward. First thing I want to encourage you to do, and you would obviously assume a preacher would say this, okay? So this is not going to be like mind-bending. Like if I see some of you taking notes, I'm just going to kind of smirk, okay? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. And I don't mean one time. I mean read it all the time. Read it daily. Let it nurture you, encourage you, renew you, shape you, change your perspective, because what you believe is how you'll behave, and how you behave is who you'll become. And you want that what you believe to be God's truth and righteousness. You want to align your life with how God thinks, and the only way you can do it is read your Bible. Secondly, think about what it's describing and teaching. Just as we worked our way through Romans chapter 6 and we looked at those deep theological truths, think about it. What is it describing? What is it teaching? And then thirdly, choose to believe it. Rest your life upon the rock and the foundation of God's reality. Fourthly, align your behavior to what you've read and what you've chosen to believe. Whether it requires changing attitudes or changing habits, align your behavior. Fifthly, watch and see then how God works in and through you. Because as you choose to believe by faith and as you align your behavior in obedience, fruitfulness will come in your life. God will begin doing things in you and through you that you couldn't have imagined last month. And then lastly, remind yourself and others daily of His truth. Sometimes we need to preach the gospel to ourselves, right? We're so desiring to see more people trust Jesus for the first time in faith that sometimes we who have been Christians for a long time need to preach afresh the beautiful truths of the gospel to remind us that we are free from sin, that Jesus died once for all, and that He lives forever so that you might understand that you too died with Him, and so you too can live with Him. And so this morning, I want to simply ask you to think about your spiritual reality. Earlier, I talked about the heart transplant and how expensive it was, and we all know it cost someone their life for someone to have a new heart. But interestingly enough, we all had spiritual heart transplants, right? When we trust in Christ, we got a new heart. When we think about it, our new heart cost God a lot as well. It required a death. For us to have new hearts, Jesus Christ went to the cross and He died once for all so that we might have a new heart, that we might have a new start, and that we might have new, fresh perspective on life each and every day as we walk with Him.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.